Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. My Diet Coke went down the wrong pipe. Welcome back. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. We're going to be talking with Jesse Funk of the Appleton International Airport. Their biggest fan is sitting right next to me. But the other thing he's a huge fan of is, of course, Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, because he got them.
I do. I just want to give a plug for Pella Windows and Doors. So we've been building houses, 150 years that, in our neighborhood, I think 1870, 1880 was the first house. But you want to get windows and doors that fit that era, that style, because you can tell if people maybe went cheap or they didn't bring in someone like Pella to, they come in and with the computer program and they'll say, look, this house was built in 1915 or 1930. And they get the right ones that fit. And the neighbors like it. Of course, you'll like it the most because it's your house. But
curb appeal.
It does. And it just, when people come in, if you're going to sell your house, you know, they want it to look like that era. If it is, especially a historic house. And you guys have historic houses in Appleton. You got a beautiful area down there that have some awesome homes. And Oshkosh does as well. And of course, here in Green Bay and Pella, we had them come in, and they did not have the free financing when I bought my windows. I wish they would
until
have.
Until June 30th, 48 months. Well, yeah. Jesse Funk is joining us right now, Appleton International Airport. Air Service and Business Development Manager. I'm just going to let you take over, Jim, because this is one of those people that you've talked about, not individually, but just in general, what he does, and you're a big fan as a business person and as a frequent traveler of what they're doing.
Yeah, it's a business, and I love your schedule, but more importantly, it's the environment you offer there. It's the customer service. I use your airport a lot. I mean, I live here in Green Bay, and I use Green Bay, you know, but for a 25-minute drive, I just think you offer a lot. And I don't know how long you've been the director, but that thing has changed in really in the last 5-6 years, I think. You've really elevated that airport.
Well, thank you. Yeah, first of all, appreciate you having me here, John, Jim. We're always happy to talk about the airport, tell our story to the people in Northeast Wisconsin who support us every single day.
We just talked the last time the three of us were together was at the Tundra Lodge with the ribbon cutting.
And I think that says a lot about the airport, is that maybe you're not an engineer, you're a hospitality guy.
I am a hospitality guy. I started my career in hotels down in Milwaukee in 2002 after I graduated from college. And it's weird to see, you know, if you take a survey now, it says, how long have you been in the travel industry? And, you know, 1 to 5 years, 6 to 10 years, mm-hmm. 10 to 20 years, over 20 years. I have to check that over 20 years mm-hmm. box now.
You should see what, you should see what Johnny checks.
Yeah, right.
What's that supposed to mean?
Like, you're the 40 years in the business.
Whatever.
Okay, whatever. Go ahead.
I've been the Air Service and Business Development Manager at the Appleton Airport since October of 22. So coming up on about a year and a half now. And really since Abe Weber, our director, became the director there in 2013, we've just been on a path to be a better airport. And not to say that the people before him didn't do well either, because Appleton, you know, has always tried to be the best airport we could be for the people of Northeast Wisconsin. But, you know, Abe started as an intern at the Appleton Airport and worked his way on up to be a director, and just has built a team, including myself, that are just very passionate about not only the airport, but about serving the people of Northeast Wisconsin and aviation in general.
And I think trips, people who travel, it's not just the wheels up, the wheels down. You're part of their travel experience.
Yeah, and it's great that you bring that up. I think, as we look at the passenger experience, and that's something that we've really tried to dive into and understand. And the more you dive into it, the more complicated it becomes, right? Because there are passengers who want to arrive at their gate literally as the plane is boarding. Yeah. Right. So, you know, arrive within 15 minutes of the departure, and we have to be able to accommodate them. And there's others that want to, get to the airport and be sitting at the gate 2 hours before their flight arrives. And we have to be able to accommodate them.
I'm actually that guy, believe it or not.
You are you?
I am that guy. Because I'm always nervous about missing a plane. Isn't that crazy? I've got this weird thing about missing a plane. Todd, you the same way?
And that's why I would never take a voucher or anything like that. We were talking about that earlier. I have a plan. I want to follow that plan, right?
Yeah. Sure.
Let's see. I'm the first guy to hit the button. I'm off. I'll take it.
He was talking about that. I had a voucher one time for anywhere in the country, and I never used it.
Okay.
Because it was hard to get it scheduled and whatever. Mm-hmm. But he said now you can get coupons to stores and things.
Macy's.
Or gift cards.
When they bounce you.
Yeah. I mean, so each airline does things a little bit different. So the four airlines that we have at the Appleton Airport are Allegiant, Delta, American, and United. And so whenever, a flight, there's an IROP or irregular operation, they take part in accommodating their travelers in various ways, or as well as if the flight is overbooked. And yes, the flights do get overbooked because there are people that don't make their flights, so they want to have a full flight.
What if nobody raises their hand? What if everybody says, nope, I got to get back in this? What do you do?
They keep raising.
They do.
They just keep raising the offer.
Jim and I were talking about this.
You get to $1,000, somebody's going to do it.
He said that one where he said he started out $200 and he was telling everybody, I
told the people in the lobby, stay where you are. The price is going to go up. I was in Detroit. We're going to Nashville. Wasn't that big of a plane, but we
yeah.
And it did went up. And I think 500 people started getting out of their seats. I'm
like, that's fine. Right. I mean, it's the entire flight.
And I didn't take my commission on that. I just okay, this is on me. Well, hey, but your airport, Johnny's talking about getting there early. Your restaurant is really good. You have good food, good burritos, good breakfast. And this is going to sound good. The only thing, and I don't complain. Right,
no,
John?
No, please.
No, Todd, what?
What far
Todd, have you ever heard a bigger lie?
Never.
In your life?
No.
The Spotted Cow's a little expensive.
Oh, my God.
Spotted Cow's a little expensive. Well, so, we talk about airport food yes, it is, a bit of a captured audience. Just like if you're at a Brewers game or a Packers game, right? There's nowhere else you can go for food. But one thing that a lot of people don't understand is all of that food has to be screened by TSA. So there's additional costs involved with both the TSA and with the restaurant employees to get that through and be secure. So there's nothing bad hiding in those boxes.
All right, so that's why. Okay, so that's why it was pre-screened Spotted Cow.
Right.
Okay.
He, by the way, is the card-carrying member of the Delta Club.
Yeah, I do. Sure. I a lifetime.
That's great. Great.
Excuse me, sir. May I see your card? Right here. Welcome. Hey, can I come in there? I'm just going to grab a beer.
No.
Do you have a card? But you know who I am?
They are strict on that.
Thank you. No.
You could never talk your way into one of those.
They are, and there's good reasons for that, right? The people that have earned those, earned those statuses deserve to be.
Or bought them.
Or bought them, right? Deserve to have a differentiator.
Yeah.
Anyway. I think the cool thing, and this is something we talk about too, the number one thing we love about you guys, direct flights are the greatest thing. If you got to travel, direct flights are simply the way to go. And you guys are always looking at new places to have direct flights.
Talk about that, Jesse, and the games too that you're
–
the Packer games.
Yeah, so that passenger experience, right, just like you're talking about, it's always nice to get on a nonstop flight. And we work with all of our carriers. We go to various conferences throughout the year and do kind of like a speed dating thing with airports and airlines. So we talk to them, kind of try to find out where they're at about – next destinations and things like that. So this year we have our New York flight on Allegiant. They opened up Newark, and then American Airlines started DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth. So that one just started on June 6th. And so those are two great options. They fill some holes in our route map. Dallas was the most requested unserved market that we had.
Dallas,
yeah.
Why so Dallas?
For a number of reasons, there are a lot of companies here in Northeast Wisconsin that have some tie to to Dallas.
Not tourism Dallas. Type of thing at all.
Tourism kind of follows along with that, right?
Yeah.
If there's companies that are down there in the Dallas area, naturally you're going to have families that are family members in both locations and things like that. Also the connections to Mexico. We have a lot of manufacturing here in Northeast Wisconsin, and they have production facilities in Mexico. So a lot of travel, business travel between here in those secondary markets in Mexico. So if you think like Guadalajara and Leon, Mexico, and places like that.
But Nashville, and Jim and I were talking about this too. His daughter was in Nashville, but that's become quite the tourism. Everybody seems like you talk to somebody and say, oh, where are you going for the week? I'm going to Nashville. Yeah. Going to Nashville.
Those flights are full.
Well, one of the things that, you know, Allegiant has done is allowed that last minute kind of, what are you doing this weekend? Nothing. Yeah, let's go to Nashville.
Right, right? Exactly. And, some of those, and that's what happens.
That's what happens. Some of those low fares, and you can jump on a flight and for, you know, spend a couple nights in Nashville and, you know, and have a great time, make some memories, and that's what it's all about.
You know what it's become, I've noticed? A big destination for bachelorette or bachelor parties. Totally.
It has. It definitely has. Yeah. And there's various parts of Nashville. You know, there's the Broadway section, which, you know, is the most famous section, of course, but there is music all over that town and various other areas as well that is not the, you know, party scene of Broadway
but
either.
It's you can spend a hell of a lot more on Broadway than you will on your airfare.
You can do that very, very easily.
But that's such a great – I love that city. I mean, I think it's
– Talk about the Packer thing we were talking about.
Yeah, so I want to ask you, and that leads to this, but where do you get your data to – I mean, all of a sudden, I thought that was great when you're flying to Newark now.
Sure.
And I think that's great because I go there pretty often.
I'm going to do it this summer.
Yeah. We both have kids who live in New York. But with the Packer things, how does that work? Do you do a survey or you say, look, we're going to Tennessee? No, you're in Nashville already, but San Diego or something?
So we wait for the schedule to come out in May, just like every other NFL fan. And when it does, we take a look at what might be some good options for our carriers, right? So this year it happened to be Jacksonville and in Los Angeles and then the additional Nashville flight. Well, those are places where Allegiant operates. So we pitch that to them. We say, hey, we think these might be good. And we throw out maybe five or six options. They look at their entire network and NFL cities and where they are. Last year was Las Vegas. They added flights for the Monday night Packers game in Las Vegas. Because they're based there. Allegiant is based in Las Vegas. It's Allegiant Stadium. So that worked out very, very well. So this year, the three with Jacksonville, Los Angeles, and Nashville were just kind of a natural fit. And they said, hey, we've got extra planes. We've got extra crews. We can do this. They know the people in Northeast Wisconsin travel for Packers games. They expect those to be full. And they put those in. And we market them really on behalf of Allegiant as well.
Are they booked?
I haven't looked lately. I know the Friday flight for Nashville, which was the original one, was sold out. So that was they added that Saturday one. They sell pretty well. So
Todd's playing your song.
Yeah, this is
That's
I got a couple.
Of, stick around.
Yeah, I got a couple of things I want to ask
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely,
great song, nicely done. Fly with me. Yes, let's fly away. I can do him.
Who's thinking? Todd?
I don't know, John.
Hey, guys, another quick break. We'll be back with more Just Funk, Appleton International Airport, right after this.
In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me.
Hey, welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here.
Is this Frank Sinatra?
Of course.
Okay, because when you sang it, that kind of threw me, but okay.
Why? No. That sound like Sinatra or Dean Martin or somebody instead? We're Jesse Funk from the Appleton International Airport. And just listening to that song, that brings back memories when I was a kid and you watch a movie and like that song replaying, and it was so glamorous to fly someplace. I mean, every guy had a suit on and women were all dressed up. And there was a special magic flying back in those days, wasn't there?
I just want to talk to Jesse about that, but I think it took a dip. Everybody's wearing shorts, it seems like is it a little better now? Or is it are the customers a little bit more professional? Or because it used to be just a cattle call, you know, especially when you guys would give us the tags and, you know, it's like, come on. And then you had that water, you had to peel it back, the foil. Did you ever have that? Like a dog.
I don't think Jesse's in charge of these things, Jim. But
no,
sorry,
right,
Jeff.
Jesse, do you remember that?
I just took a turn.
Talk about
that in 77? 1977 is when Johnny, these first started. I couldn't believe it.
They had
it's
water. They had water. And you know what I'm talking about, Jesse? They had water in a cup, and you had to peel the foil back like you would give your dog.
So, okay, yeah, I do remember that a little bit.
Incentive to upgrade to first class.
I do remember that, but if you look at, you know, the history of aviation, there was such a small subset of the population that was able to fly in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s, and that's what you're seeing today. Is there's just really almost anybody has the ability to fly. And so when you have that, then you're going to get, you know, different clothing. Right?
Jim,
so
Jim doesn't like that, by the way.
No, everybody can fly.
Just the elite. No, he's not as exclusive anymore. But what, like, if you took a flight to LA in 1960, whatever that would cost you, versus taking a flight from, you know, here to LA right now, just with the way the cost of living and everything has gone, is it higher? A lot higher? Was it a lot higher back then?
Well, it's like buying a first class ticket. I don't have the stats in front of me, but it's something, you know, to the equivalent of a $3,000 or $4,000 ticket today.
Right.
So it would be like if you were buying the ultra first class, everything, you know, today, where there's, you can get to LA for, you know, say $800 today, you know, round trip. Right. And again, I don't have anything in front of me to say that, but yeah, the way less expensive. You know, if you look at
less expensive.
Airfare has risen nowhere near the rate of inflation. You know,
that's what I was wondering.
Yeah. It's,
and I'm amazed when I look at your 39, 49, 8, Allegiant, not yours, but
so
it's like, how do they make money? And I really, how do they make money? Because I mean,
well, there's an old saying that says empty seats don't buy bags.
Yeah, and that's
so old, going back to 2005.
But really, nothing more perishable than that.
Nothing more perishable, right?
Once it's gone, it's gone.
Once it's gone, it's gone. So we see people that, you know, that get attracted by the low fares, and that's great. And they get on the plane and they buy a bag and they have a couple drinks, and, you know, especially if you're headed to a leisure destination like Nashville. But you know, all of that is revenue, and all of that, you know, comes into play.
Yeah.
So Allegiant is a very different model than, you know, American, Delta, United, and they do what works for them.
But your airport has a model that works, and I want to just talk about the customer service of, you have people that you pay, because I asked the guy, are you a volunteer? Are you getting paid?
Yeah.
Because I'm getting paid.
Yeah.
And then I sent it an application. You never got back to me. I'm just kidding.
Hospitality?
That's
you'd be the worst.
No.
Oh, my God.
I would say my first question would be, where are you going? Yeah. And I've been there. I've been in every state, so I would say,
Todd,
I've been there. And
jump in anytime.
No.
What's up with these pajama pants?
You couldn't dress in time? Really? Wow.
What, are you going to Walmart?
Yeah. Oh,
my God.
I'll tell you one thing. I never buy my lingerie at Walmart. You can go on my radio show. You'll know. People will hear that.
We love all of our travelers. We love all our travelers.
There you go. All right. And I would learn that. They wear the vests, and they are truly there. What?
Yeah, those are our ambassadors.
Ambassadors.
Most of them are semi-retired. They've had a career in something else, manufacturing or hospitality or whatever. And, you know, airports can be confusing places, and even what I consider a simple airport like Appleton, and Jim, if you traveled, you've been through Atlanta and Detroit and Chicago, and those, you know, seem like complicated places. But, you know, we've had people that can't find things at the Appleton Airport. And you can put up as much signage as you want, but it's just nice to have a person there to guide you and understand that, you know, this might be your first trip ever. This might be your first time on an airplane. And that's what we were talking about earlier with accommodating every single traveler. That there's people that travel that leave Monday morning and come back Friday afternoon, and they're in our Appleton Airport literally 48 weeks a year. And there's others that this is their first time ever traveling. We want to be able to accommodate every single one of those travelers.
Got a nice texter. Love the Appleton to Fort Myers connection. Use it every single winter. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah. That's Punta Gorda, Fort Myers area on Allegiant. Those of us in Northeast Wisconsin, we love our Gulf Coast of Florida, don't we?
What do you think is the best, how do I put it, not special that you guys have going on, but there are people where you guys can, hey, you know, this is pretty cool. Just so you know, this is a pretty cool flight thing we got going here. What one do you think is really of special value to people?
Which destination?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the nonstop routes are great. It really depends upon if you're a business traveler or a leisure traveler. I think,
let's say,
know,
leisure.
Leisure travel, the fact that we have almost the entire state of Florida covered with Allegiant is terrific. You know, we're still working on that Northern Florida area, but I think that's terrific. Mesa, Arizona, you know, be able to go out to the Phoenix area and not be in the busy airport of
I
of
didn't
Phoenix,
even know Mesa. I used to live in Mesa.
Okay.
And when I went to Arizona a couple of years ago, I flew into Phoenix to go to Tucson, and then just drove to Tucson. But I didn't know Mesa had an airport. And somebody's telling me it's the most convenient thing to all of a sudden go from Wisconsin to Arizona, yeah, like you won't believe.
It's grown a lot.
Dallas, too, right? I mean, sometimes...
Dallas is a big one. Right. I think, you know, anytime you can get into the network, too, and American and Delta United all have great networks from Appleton. Yeah. So three hubs now served by American, two by United, and three by Delta.
And how do you get these? Do you survey your customers? Like, there's people that may want something, I don't know, pick Denver. I don't, that's not, yeah, big, but yeah. How do you find the next place?
Well, we go to Denver. We, United and Allegiant both go to Denver, but you know, we look at, there's some great cell phone data out there, location data out there. We use about a half a dozen different sources. Social media is a very small part of that. We do enjoy our social media comments, and we see that kind of stuff. But you know, really, if you want a new route from any airport, and this doesn't matter if you live in Chicago or if you live in Appleton, if you want a new route, you have to use the airport, your home airport, to get that route. So, you know, a story I like to tell is we were talking with Delta, and I singled them out. We love Delta, but just because we had a great conversation with them, and we said, okay, what would we have to do at the Appleton Airport to get a route to New York City, LaGuardia, let's just say, right? Business airport in LaGuardia, right? And that would be great. And we use something called PADU, passengers daily each way, is a statistic that we use. And they said, well, at 80 PADU, we start having a conversation. Like, where could we pick up some more travelers? At 90, behind the scenes, we're getting an airplane in line. And at 100, we're somehow finding you an airplane. We're taking an airplane from somewhere else at 100 PADU. Appleton currently has 12. Huh. 12, you know, 12.
So they're like, so
12 passengers each way to New York every day. And we know that we lose travelers to New York to airports south of us. But every time you do that, every time you drive to an airport south of us, you're telling the airport, or you're telling the airline, excuse me, that you're okay in doing that. You're okay driving an hour and a half or 3 hours away. So the way to get a new route is to use the Appleton Airport. Yes, there's a connection. Okay. There'll be a connection for a while.
We're going to have you back because I still had a question. I want to travel with my dog. He is the best dog ever.
Oh my God.
He's trained. He's certified.
We can talk a little bit about that. Each airline has a different policy for dogs.
You know how
I'll buy a seat.
You know how they say in the unevent, the chances aren't not a water landing, use the thing for a flotation device. He'd have to do it because he's the only dog that can't swim.
He's taking lessons,
true story,
though. Taking lessons.
And he's flunking them. Jesse Funk, this is great. Love to have you back again. Appleton Airport. Great job.
Thanks
you guys
for what
do.
You're doing.
All right.
Quick
Thanks,
break.
Guys.
Terry
Appreciate
Barlow,
it.
Join us next.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. That was fun, talking to Jesse Funk from the... Appleton International Airport. There, I still have about a million different questions.
I don't.
Because I love flying. I love traveling. I hate hassles. I hate being in one airport. You get off, you got to take a tram to try to find the next one. You get whatever. I hate that.
Appleton
stuff.
Really is kind of a small airport. And they have these guys invest, these retired, executives, ambassadors, and they want something to do. And he does pay them. And they're just, you know, how you doing and where you going and, you know, you finding everything okay. And, you know, and some people, like, they'll stand right in that hallway, and right behind there's the big restrooms, men and women. People come up to them. And they're very patient. I'd be like, what, are you blind?
Did you ever walk into the wrong one?
I did
one time in Appleton. I can't remember the restroom.
In Appleton?
I was down to do a thing on WIR. One of the big name, Bobby Allison or somebody, was going to be racing at WIR.
Yeah.
So he held a luncheon and press conference at some... And I was talking to somebody, like, going down the hall, and he was like, and I'm still talking to him, and I'm at the door, and I just push the door, and I go in, and I'm looking for the urinals. So it's like, no! Yeah. Thank God nobody, you know, came in or was in the thing or whatever.
Talk to the customer service
people. Exactly.
Yeah.
I bet Terry Barr has done that a time or two, because she's just tear it up.
Maybe even hanging out there.
Hi, Terry.
I love the Appleton Airport. It's so easy.
It is.
You know?
And they got
it going on there.
And they make it even easier with the customer service rep that says, look, how can I help you? And they're parking. You got to admit, they're parking. They do plow. If you go there in winter, it's just shoveled out I think, I don't know if they got a different crew than we have here, but yeah, I'm a pretty big fan of it. I fly Green Bay when I, at times, but I'm with Johnny. I like the direct flight, and they have more. It seems like they have more than.
Yeah.
I love the bathroom story, though, and I luckily I haven't done that, but I have a funny
like
Jay Johnson story, if everybody remembers Jay Johnson, my co-anchor at Channel 11.
Of course, love Jay.
The U.S.
Yes.
Mint.
Yes. Oh, wonderful man. When we first, now this will age all of us, when we first had microphones that you didn't have to be connected to anything. Geez.
Wireless.
The little bat. Yes, and you could walk around and talk to people. Oopsie. He left his on going into the men's bathroom. And we're all sitting there, do-do-do-do-do. Can somebody please tell Jay he should turn his microphone
on? You know what's funny about that? When we did our Tuesday travels in Oshkosh, and you guys were in the coffee shop,
Jim did that.
He went to the bathroom with the microphone on.
That's right. You're right.
We heard
right.
the mayoral usage of the bathroom.
Okay, let's move on. We're with Terry Barr, Slice of Wisconsin.
Ouch.
Everybody
Okay, so this time, Slice of Wisconsin, we continue our celebration of June Dairy Month, of course. Mm-hmm. This one's all about the cheese curds, though. Love cheese curds. How about you guys?
Oh my gosh.
Favorite thing in the world is my buddy of mine. He runs a fried cheese curd stand at Farmer's Market here downtown Green Bay on Wednesday nights. Love it.
And I get
Those are the best. Aren't they? When they come from some kind of stand, like at the fair or like at a farmer's market.
Just lightly breaded. Do them wrong. He does them really, really well. Although, just plain cheese curds, you know where the best, you know, speaking of airports, this is funny. This is just coincidental. I used to go out to the Green Bay airport to get, because they deliver cheese curds every day, and they were the freshest. And I don't like buying them in the store if they're, because if those are 2 days old, it's day and night, I think.
Why don't you just go down to Simon's or someplace like that in Little Chute?
Because the airport was closer. Okay. I don't know. But
I've never heard of anybody going to an airport.
I did.
If anybody's going to do it,
it would be him. Jim.
Only in Green Bay would that happen.
I swear to God, I went to the airport to buy cheese curds.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm with you.
Okay.
I love them.
Everything is tying together today. This is incredible.
It really is.
Squeaky means, yes, they are fresh cheese curds.
Right. Yeah.
And it's the protein in the cheese curds when you bite on it. Those proteins rub against your teeth, and that's actually what makes it squeaky.
Oh.
And it's made from curdled milk, which I know people think, oh, that sounds awful, but that's actually the best part because that's what makes it into that protein that then squeaks on your teeth.
Okay, Terry, hold that thought real quick. These guys don't believe me. That one summer I had a job down in Arizona working at a dairy, and my job was to take the sour spoiled milk and dump it into a big vat, and they would make something out of it. And these guys were like, what would they make out of sour milk? There's nothing made out of sour milk. Please help me out on this story.
Okay, help me out too. Let's just set the stage again. Johnny said that he worked at a dairy.
Yes.
And the milk was spoiled.
They bring back the spoiled milk from the stores that didn't sell.
I'm not saying that aged milk doesn't go into cheese curds. You're sticking spoiled, like you can smell it.
You could.
Okay, I want Terry to comment on
this. Okay, go ahead, Terry.
Okay. You know, this is something, again, you guys give me homework.
I know, I was just going to say, here's the next thing on your list.
Because the cheese curds are actually made from young cheddar cheese. So over time, it's brand new cheese. It hasn't even been in a wheel. It hasn't been out anywhere. So that's really interesting. Curdled milk made with the young cheese into then the cheese curds. I don't know about the spoiled milk part.
Okay. What do you think they would have made out of that then? Cottage cheese, maybe?
No, they would have thrown it out.
No,
that's
they
the law.
Didn't. I was doing it, Jim.
I know you were breaking
there.
The law.
I was working there. Oh, my gosh. Terry, find out what is made out of spoiled milk, please.
Spoiled
for next week.
Milk. But see, now you were working where in Arizona?
Yes.
You weren't working in Wisconsin.
No,
true.
Who
that
knows
is true,
what they
too.
Were doing with it?
Maybe.
Right.
Also, did you ever find out if some of the farm things serve ostrich eggs?
No.
Okay.
I should say, no, I did not find out. But as we talked about, there are ostrich farms.
Right.
But overall, those eggs were not being used for humans to eat.
Oh, you can eat them, though.
At least not in Wisconsin.
You know what I saw? I think it was Festival or someplace. No, maybe that other. But, duck eggs. I didn't know you could buy duck eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a duck egg?
No, those are actually supposed to be good for you. Yes.
That's what I heard. Yeah. Duck eggs.
Are they brown?
Okay.
I don't know. Do you know Amanda?
Free range.
Amanda's looking at me. Oh, no. She's looking at me like I'm crazy.
Okay.
Okay. I got a thing here. Had the fried cheese curds last night at Vickery Village listening to Conscious Pilot. Very cool. Very cool. Was there my guy Nick? Was Nick there?
Yeah.
With his probably?
Yeah.
They're phenomenal.
This cheese curds, you know, we talk about the NFL draft. Somebody's going to make a ton of money on cheese curds. That is going to be one
absolutely.
Of the, I mean, we're going to make a lot of money on beer, but that's going to be a great thing. And Johnny's friend deep fries them, and he really does them, you know, I've had a lot of cheese curds, and he does it right.
Perfect.
He's got some recipe is perfect.
Amanda?
Terry, I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Since we're talking cheese curds, if we're going to refer to fried cheese curds, do you happen to know what the most popular dipping sauce with it is? Because nowadays,
I know you can guess it.
You can get ranch. Most people, some people do marinara, but lately I've been seeing like jam, like some kind of strawberry, like berry jam with them.
Really?
Yeah.
That wouldn't be bad.
Oh, that actually sounds good.
I was just going to say, you got the sweet, it was like a raspberry jam. That would work for
me. Well, I'll tell you what, we used to make sandwiches when I was a kid with a big slice of cheese. It'd be Velveeta, I'm sure. And then we put like apple jelly on it, and that would be our sandwich.
See, that. I think there's something
it was
there.
Delicious, but we'd always be homemade apple jelly and slice of cheese. And sometimes we'd do it on toast. It'd be toast and then the cheese and then the jam. And it was fantastic. So Amanda, I think that might be
great.
Yes.
You
it really and truly was.
The dipping sauces, we could sell those at a premium at the NFL draft. Like you know, you got
there
the ranch,
you
got the ranch and the marinara, but if you really want to get some Door County cherry dipping sauce,
I like the way you're thinking. We got to learn how to
raspberry,
make sauces.
Hand-picked raspberry and strawberry dipping sauce.
Yeah. We got to do this.
That could,
we got room at your place.
And then we could walk around, you could make a belt and have those on a belt, but then you could have people pick those off your belt and give you the money.
We're trying to get, we have to make it super easy. See, if you go inside the gate of the NFL draft, you have to use their POS system, you know, that point of sale system.
No, we're going to be outside the gate.
We're going to be outside the gate so we can take cash and
way
get
tips. Way outside.
We're going to be those people when you're driving up to a place and they got their stand set up 3 blocks away. Yeah, we're going to be those people. We ain't paying no fees.
No, and then if...
Yeah,
and I like
if you
your idea.
Allow me to come help you, and I put these on my belt, like big bottles of what we're talking about. You're going to put me out on the highway, aren't you?
But I like the fact that we're mobile, just in case the inspector comes.
Just in case
comes.
We got to get.
Well,
just in case the
Pobo
is coming, we got to get out there in a hurry.
What's the code word? What's the code word?
Broken arrow.
Yeah,
broken arrow. Broken arrow.
Broken arrow.
Is our code word.
Yep. Here comes the truck.
Exactly. Okay. Five-0's coming. Broken arrow. Broken arrow.
Some weird Wisconsin things for you if you'd like to hear.
You know what? Go ahead. Yes. Terry, you could be like those shot girls. Remember back in the day, shot girls would be at the bars?
Totally.
Oh, my God.
You could be a sauce girl. You could be a Yankee girl.
Sauce girl.
Yes.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah.
Saucy
girl.
But I'm going to be a what? Sauce girl.
Saucy girl. You could be this, or saucy girl. All right. And we're taking applications for more. We need a lot of saucy girls.
Right. And we got
so let us know who wants to join.
We'll be sending you
I love it.
We'll be sending you the
Mino
outfit.
Mino and the mayor's saucy girl.
Yes. Yes. Terry, what are you doing during the Packer? Are you kidding me? I'm a saucy girl for Mino and the mayor.
Ooh.
Yeah.
There could be a saucy girl calendar.
Saucy girl calendar. Right. I like this.
Are you envisioning that?
Oh, no. Now he has a saucy girl calendar.
Right. Todd just came up with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
French maid comes to mind. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, no. Mr. Mayor.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
My God. John slid a note over here. I just read it.
I apologize on behalf of Civic Media for him, Terry. Wow.
Okay.
What else is going on, Terry Barr?
Okay, well, there are a bunch of weird Wisconsin laws, and Jim, you're probably not surprised about any of these. One, since we were talking about cheese on things, did you know it was illegal? Now, this is back in the 1930s. Apple pie had to be served with cheese on it.
Wow.
It was a Wisconsin law.
How many times have I talked about that and you guys always scoff?
That is true.
Not me.
Yeah.
Not Todd.
Yep.
I did. We didn't have that when we were kids. Those are pretty
margarine.
I was just going to say those are pretty
margarine still cannot be served at restaurants. It's prohibited.
I was going to ask that.
Unless the customer requests it.
See, those are great lobbying groups.
Even in the 30s,
I'd like to be a margarine salesman in Wisconsin.
Special interest. Yeah. That's cool.
Wow. Here's
a special one for Sheboygan. Now, I couldn't find any Green Bay ones, so maybe you can help us with that. But Sheboygan, you can't water your lawn in a way that annoys your neighbors.
Hmm.
Now, I don't even know what that would be, but apparently
urine.
Do not annoy the neighbors in Sheboygan.
I'm like taking a leak on their lawn. I'll just go ahead.
Todd, I'm the one on pain meds. Yeah. And he's the one hallucinating over here.
Oh,
watering their lawn, I was saying, go, okay, all right. I take it back.
Wow, okay. Remember, it's one of those real lawn. Maybe it's one of those.
I don't know if that's enforceable. I don't know.
Well, it's very subjective.
Because I just want to tell you, we get a lot of complaints on leaf blowers. So your neighbor gets up.
So loud.
They are. And your neighbor gets up in the morning. And
7 in the morning, you're out there doing it. I hate that. And I agree.
We get complaints.
Yeah, can't they wait until after 9?
Right? I know, right? Totally agree.
But the noise ordinance is from, 10 to 7, 10 to 6 or something like that?
I don't know. But leaf blowers are one of the loudest things
ever. They are so loud. And we get complaints on that. If they said you couldn't use your leaf blower without there's some people who would never use a leaf blower because the neighbors hate those things.
Yeah.
Anyway.
When we come back, Terry, we got a text here. Somebody said, ask her why is that on the margarine? Why the law on the margarine? Because I know that was a big thing between even Michigan and Wisconsin. People going to one place here. So Terry Barr, Slice of Wisconsin, stay with us, please. Back right after this.
Hides a smile when she's wearing a frown. Blue jacket, you're not so down. You like your life in a freeform style. You'll take an inch, but you love a mile. There never seems to be quite enough. Floating around to fill your loving cup.
Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, and an absolutely gorgeous, just gorgeous, beautiful Wednesday morning. I got a text from some friends of mine. They're working for Habitat for Humanity today.
Oh, great.
Building a house. That is so cool.
Perfect day, and what an awesome organization.
Yep. I might run over there, just put on the tool belt, and just kind of
get a picture and
sleeveless shirt and midriff shirt, whatever, and just kind of do some work.
Get a little sheen going.
Get a little sheen going for the ladies.
Yeah. The Mino sheen.
Yeah. I could come out. Hey, that would be a good, fragrance, like a cologne. Mino sheen. What drives her wild? Mino sheen.
What is she looking for?
Hey, Mino sheen. You smell really good, big boy. It's the Mino sheen.
What is he looking for?
Exactly. I like this. We got this. Another way we're going to make money. Think about it.
Yeah.
So we got a text here. Why on the margarine? Why was margarine such a controversial thing?
It still is.
Okay.
Right. But
state statutes, section 97.18, fake colored oleo or margarine cannot be served at a restaurant unless the customer requests it. And it was part of, I think the mayor had this right on. It was part of supporting Wisconsin and America's Dairyland. But if you go now, you still won't find margarine
What is margarine? I don't really know what that is. I mean, butter,
not
of course.
Butter.
No, but that's what's margarine made out of?
Well, it's oil, right? She said the oleo isn't allowed, right?
Yeah. Oleo.
Right.
Oh, I remember oleo. Yeah.
That just sounds awful.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I was just reading from the statute.
Okay.
But it says fake colored oleo So I don't know what color
it would be.
Because
it'd be white
OVO
otherwise.
Be.
White.
Right. Ah.
Yes.
So then they tried to color it yellow.
Yeah.
Or margarine. Yeah. It's prohibited unless the customer specifically requests it.
See, can you just see that young marketing guy? Boss, I got it. We're going to make some stuff. It looks like butter. And then,
no, they'll know the difference.
And then the state comes in and says, hey, wait a minute. We're going to fix this for our...
What's the first state you're going to launch this in? Wisconsin.
Because they use so much butter there. Yeah. And we're just going to take out... They won't even know we're there.
Yeah.
And then the state gets involved and says, wait a minute. No can do.
It says, although originally made from animal fats, most margarine consumed today is made from vegetable oil. Yeah.
Did you guys have butter or margarine growing up?
I want to say butter.
We had margarine.
Did you?
Yeah.
Like, what would be the brands?
No,
Blue Bonnet, Parquet. Oh. That's all margarine.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Oh, we did have that. Then.
Really?
And I just remember, like, the first time I had butter.
What'd you say, Amanda?
Imperial.
Oh, Imperial. Yeah. I remember these now. Oh. Yeah. I remember the commercials.
It's not nice to fool Mother
Nature. You're right. Yeah. Yes. And the bonnet one. And they'd come in those big plastic tubs that were great then to use for worms. Picking worms and everything like that. Yep. Because they had a handle on them.
But the first time I had real butter.
Well, everything's multi-purpose.
Absolutely.
That's a lot of margarine if it had a handle on it.
It did, didn't it, Todd?
A handle?
Jim, I worked in a grocery store in the dairy department. I stocked the stuff. Some of them had like the big country crocks and stuff.
Yes.
There were handles on some of that stuff.
And then they were great buckets then for whatever you wanted afterwards. You don't remember that?
Isn't that sad? Todd, you called it the dairy department.
Well, yeah, exactly. Right? Orange juice and yogurt and tortilla shells.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Terry, what did you ever do for a normal job?
Well, I grew up on a dairy farm. So.
Oh, cool.
But my first job, I worked in radio when I was in high school. But then my first non-media job away from the dairy farm, I was a car hop.
No kidding. Where?
In Shawnee.
I'll be damned. Because we went to the place in Fond du Lac in Oshkosh last week, the car hop.
Artie and Ed's,
where the girls are on the roller skates.
Were you at A&W?
I did not get to do the roller skates, and I probably could have worked there because I did go to college in Oshkosh.
Oh, wow.
But, we weren't fancy that way. I wish we would have been. That would have been really fun.
Were you A&W? What was your brand?
No. We were across the street from A&W, and I remember looking out the window at the A&W and going, oh, that looks fun. The one that I worked at is no longer in business, so I suppose I can say the name. It was Butch's Open Door, and
Just don't think Butch's Open Door, the kids want to go there.
Come on in.
You guys want to go to A&W and get a frosty mug or Butch's Open Door?
I can see some lady with smoke hanging out. What do you want, hon?
Yeah.
Big long ashes.
We got the roast beef sandwiches on special.
We did. We would look out the window across to see how they were doing with their customers. And they were often a little...
Well, I will say this. In my era in the 70s, A&W was king.
I was gonna say, they were the bomb.
And they did a good job because, at least in my hometown, they would hire the cutest girls and they'd always wear orange culottes. Remember, do they still make culottes?
Oh, boy.
No. Yeah, but they would wear the orange culotte and the knee socks, the high white knee socks. Not that I paid much attention.
No.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
But A&Ws were, they also were everywhere. Like small town to Two Rivers. You had one in Nugani?
Yeah, A&W, yeah. See, it was huge. That was the hub of where everybody went.
They did a good job. A&W, and I know they're still around, not as prominent as they used to be. There's a lot more competition.
Let me tell you a very embarrassing episode I had in A&W one time.
With the culottes?
Oh, goody.
Yeah. So I was working on this girl. You know what I mean? I mean by working, trying to, flirting, yada, 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 okay? Go there almost every day on my bike, okay?
And wow. Should have got a nice... They like convertibles, Transams, that kind of stuff.
She was impressed that I had a basket because that's how she knew I was an athlete.
You
want to
hear this bell,
nice
honey?
Basket. Yeah. That's how she knew I was an athlete.
Can I ring your bell?
And I actually go, oh my God, Jim. So I actually go there one day. I'd been, throwing the football around the football field. And like the year before, in the eighth grade, a bunch of us, you forget to return your jerseys, you steal the jersey, and then you wear it because you're cool to wear a stolen football jersey.
Okay? Oh, I thought you gave it to the girl.
Oh, I did that one time too, and that's another story a guy is still so mad at me about.
But that can work.
Yeah, it is, but, she's the one that went the other side.
Well, he converted her.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the
varsity converted herself.
The varsity football coach, I saw him driving down the highway. All of a sudden, I see his brake lights come on.
Oh.
And it's like, oh, no. And I see him do a U-turn, and he just speeds right into the A&W, parks, doesn't even get out of his car, parks. Mino, do you know where I live? Yes, coach. I want that jersey on my porch within half an hour, or I will come to your house. It's like, okay, coach. And here it was in front of everybody and all the cute girls and stuff like that. And it's like, oh.
So did you take it off and show them the sheen?
I took it off right away. I said, hey, ladies, I've been holding back on this. It's your lucky day.
Thank you, coach.
Yeah. Damn
worked
right.
out perfect.
You better believe it. All right.
We got work
Terry
to do.
Barr, we love having Thanks, you Terry. On here. You're always so much fun.
Oh, for some reason, I love you guys.
You're the best. Keep it rocking.
Haven't figured out why yet, but yeah.
Thank you, Terry, and all of our guests today. Grant Soletsky, who was phenomenal from the 32nd Division, National Guard. Rochelle Jordan from Dominion Title. She was great filling in for the Malcors today. Right. Jesse Indiana. Funk, the airport, and, of course, Terry Barr, Slice of Wisconsin from Civic Media. Fun day. Todd, thanks for everything you do. Mine on the Mayor, back in tomorrow morning. See ya.